It's time to go full speed ahead with Michael Kelly. Each week, we take you inside all the big sports stories at USF from the perspective of the man who oversees the program, Vice President of Athletics, Michael Kelly. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
It's Friday. It means full speed ahead time. Derek Sharp with Michael Kelly through the magic of Microsoft Teams, the unofficial sponsor of this version. Of course, you were hearing full speed ahead presented every week by TGH. We did not do a show last week for good reason. Everything was kind of scrambled. And now that we look back on the entirety, Michael, of what took place last week, I know you addressed it on the football radio show and in some other opportunities. But maybe a quick recap. Last time we talked to you about it, it was before the actual game. The week having so many forces come together to help make sure the Bulls and, of course, East Carolina were in a safe place, even though it was a vastly different place than Raymond James Stadium.
Very true, Derek. Obviously, with so many different teams in both in-season and out-of-season, our first thoughts and actions were to get them safely placed and, when possible, to play their games safely, and when not possible, to get them rescheduled and so forth and so on. But it was a highly unusual week, one that I'm very grateful to our student athletes, our coaches, and certainly our staff that went the extra yard to kind of make sure things went off and things took the priority of the care of our student athletes into primary concern. Obviously, none of that could happen also without the help of many and people that were willing to not only reach out to see how they could help, but to step up and help when they could. When we talk about the football game alone, it was Tulane University reached out if they could help. East Carolina certainly looked into the possibility of hosting that game, but they ended up having a storm later in the week than we did. And ultimately, FAU had in a situation where they were going to be away and very graciously allowed us to use their facility. So I know firsthand, because when I was in operations early in my career, when you have a rare weekend off, it's tough to host another game for albeit someone that's not your own. But yet FAU staff did it because they knew it was things out of our control and something that all of us in our state are dealing with and stepped up in a huge way. So we're extremely grateful to Florida Atlantic and their staff and Brian White, their athletic director, for doing all they did to help us. Having said that, we're obviously very concerned and thoughts still with so many in our state that are affected, particularly our friends in the southwestern part of the state. We're just here to support them, see how there's ways we as a state citizenry can help each other and get our state restored to where it was on a very small level. Florida Gulf Coast University is in a situation where, their campus was, from my understanding and talking to Ken Cavanaugh, their athletic director, is in fairly good shape, but they did lose some soccer goals, equipment, and things of that nature. But obviously a lot of their staff and faculty and everyone's still very affected from a personal nature. But so we're going to be hosting their game tonight just to help them out, similar to the way we were helped until they can get their equipment back in order. And even, their opponent, UNF, wasn't really able to even find hotels down in that area, since obviously a lot of, repair folks, rescue workers, displaced individuals are all kind of taking up a lot of the hotel inventory down in Southwest Florida. So long story short, it was a tough week for many, a devastating week for some that we're very thoughtful for, but obviously, again, very, very thankful for the extra effort for not only our staff, but for those that helped us.
And I was going to actually ask you and sort of mention that anytime you can return the favor, you'll do it. And there's a perfect example, the FGCU soccer team at Corbett Soccer Stadium on Friday night. Now, it wasn't just football that was affected. Men's soccer was supposed to play a match of volleyball. That's a situation I don't know if you have an update on, not just two home matches, but two that matches that were supposed to be played at the Yuengling Center. Obviously, nothing was going to be played at the Yuengling Center. But what were some of the other changes, and can you update us on any of the makeups?
Yeah, great point. Certainly men's soccer was going to travel up to Charlotte and play, and they had they had rough weather up there as well. So our team trained down in the Fort Lauderdale area to get out of the storm's path here in Tampa, and then we're prepared to go up to Charlotte, but it just didn't work out. So they were fortunately, unlike with football, where we didn't have a good date to remake it with East Carolina because we didn't have similar bye dates or breaks in the schedule. Charlotte and our men's soccer team were able to find a replacement date, and they're going to play up at Charlotte on October the 25th. So men's soccer is all set in that regard. Our volleyball situation, we still haven't been able to find the exact dates yet. Both we lost our games at home against Tulsa and Wichita as a result of the storm, and as a reminder to our fans that, you know, the Engling Center last weekend was used as a special needs shelter, so that certainly took the corral to some extent, and certainly the Engling Center offline for us for a couple of days. Obviously, it was very difficult and impossible, really, for Tulsa and Wichita to get into town last weekend when the storm was going. So we're still working with the conference and with Tulsa and Wichita to see if those games can be made up. They're looking at, again, possible breaks for probably a midweek game if they could get here. And hopefully we'll get one or two of those in back here in Tampa. If we can't, then it'll be registered as a no contest by the conference, because it's certainly not it was just something that was kind of a act of nature that prevented that. But we're hopeful at least one of those games can get rescheduled. We'll keep you posted. It hasn't been accomplished yet. Cross country, we know the meet they were going to be in got canceled last week, but they did find another meet that they're going to be competing in this week here up at Florida State. So that's good. At least they get the same number of competitions that they wanted. So that's kind of how they were affected. Obviously, our women's soccer team was already up. We got them out well in advance of the storm, and they spent a couple extra days in Dallas to get ready for their game at SMU, which turned out to be a great one. And I know we'll talk about the progress of soccer here in a few minutes. But that's kind of how it rests with all of our in-season teams right now. As it relates to football, I do want to remind everybody, we sent correspondence out to our season ticket holders. Of course, anyone could have gotten and claimed, any season ticket holder could have claimed a ticket down to at the game in Boca Raton, but obviously with so much going on, you know, we understood if we couldn't force people to do that. And so whether you redeem that ticket or not, there's still an opportunity for a refund or the donation of that ticket from the ECU game. You receive direct information from our ticket office, and just want to remind those folks that October 14th would be the deadline for them to kind of claim that refund if they're so inclined. So just a reminder out to our season ticket holders, sorry for the inconvenience. We appreciate your understanding, but that's one way to get your business handled. And probably the last hurricane thing, again, we can't express enough to our thoughts for those that have been so heavily impacted. We and all the FBS institutions that play football, obviously this weekend we'll have a special One Florida decal on their helmet. So our men's football team obviously will wear that tomorrow in Cincinnati, as will all the other FBS programs in the state. So again, just a symbolic gesture, knowing that we were all impacted in some way, some small and some huge, but we all know that's one of the things we have to deal with right now with Mother Nature, and we have to kind of stick together and pull together when time's calling that. And certainly that's indicative of the situation now.
I also want to give special praise to the fans that made that trip, not just for being true Bulls fans, football fans, but also that was not an actual easy trip to make as far as the road, in some case, closure. So shout out to them. And another thing that people fully understood that wasn't going to happen because it was scheduled for Friday night was the Hall of Fame induction ceremony for the new class. And we have a little news here on Bulls Speed Ahead. Can you tell people when it's been rescheduled for?
Yeah, we were able to work with the three inductees. Of course, remember Quentin Flowers, Erica Bergeron, and Paul Griffin, and trying to find a time where they could be here. That's first and foremost, and then being able to find facilities for it. So we're going to be able to do the event, the banquet part of it, on Thursday, November the 10th, which will be 2 days prior to the game on the 12th when we play SMU in football. So we already have some basketball games scheduled on the 11th, so we didn't want to conflict basketball and volleyball on the 11th, so we didn't want to conflict with existing games. But it'll be great. It'll make for even a longer and better weekend. So we'll honor those three great Hall of Famers on Thursday, November 10th. It's going to be we're going to have to move the venue, though. We were going to be at the Pepin Hospitality House.
Okay.
Just because of a conflict with their schedule, we're going to end up moving it to the Sheraton Riverwalk downtown Tampa. They have space to accommodate us, so we'll be there. Ticket holders that already had tickets to the event will be contacted. Again, if that new date doesn't work, we'll find ways to refund. But I hope with a little over a month's warning, everyone can come out. And for those that couldn't come at the previous date, now might be able to make it. So we want to definitely honor Quentin, Paul, and Erica in a first-class way, and we're glad we're able to do that.
No doubt. There you go. November 10th, Sheraton Riverwalk. That's a pretty good backup location, if I can say so myself. Another location along the same lines, along the same area is where, and this is, I believe, a first. If not, it's been a long time since there's been a basketball tip-off luncheon, and if you're looking to score tickets for that, too late, but that's a good sign. It's sold out, correct?
Yeah, we have a huge luncheon that we had advertised even in a previous episode of Bull Speed Ahead, but great work by our fans and by our staff to sell out our first tip-off luncheon. We've had such good feedback and a fun time at our first three football preseason luncheons we've done downtown, and so we wanted to do it for both our men's and women's basketball programs as well. But yeah, it's sold out. It's going to be held at the River Center on October 20th, but hey, that's okay. It just shows to me the excitement that our folks have for the upcoming season. Obviously, both teams are looking forward to a lot of success and to get it started off with their fans and chance to meet and see the personalities of our various women's and men's players will be great. But so our focus now shifts to getting ready for the season, right? And season tickets and getting people into the Engling Center in a big way. And we can't wait to do that. Again, season tickets are still on sale, folks. You can get season tickets for both, you know, women's basketball and or men's basketball at $100 a piece, right? So again, for $100 to get up to 15 plus nights of entertainment value, we really are one of the best entertainment values you can have in town. It's we're Tampa Bay's home for hoops, so we know if you like basketball, there's no pro team in town. There's we are your team, and we really hope you'll look not only to support our men and women, but to just come out and have a great time. I think we're going to have some exciting players, a great season this year, and I hope people will use this next month to get those tickets.
I know I was able to stroll into the Engling Center and watch Brian Gregory's team just for a little bit the other day, and just walking in, you get that sense like it's almost here. It is going to be a month from Monday, I guess, when the home doubleheader. Actually, there's an exhibition for the men before that, but some really exciting players on the men's side. I think you guys are going to love Keyshawn Bryant. He is a highlight reel, but that's just the start of it. And the women, go figure, a lot of new Europeans on the team with some serious skill that I was able to observe, and you guys can observe them in person soon enough. There's other stuff happening in other sports. You hinted at soccer. I know some big meetings that are coming up on the national and the local level that we want to get to, and we will when we resume Bull Speed Ahead, presented by Tampa General Hospital. Stay tuned.
For almost two decades, Tampa General has been named one of the nation's best hospitals by U.S. News and World Report. This year in seven specialties: ear, nose, and throat, diabetes and endocrinology, gastroenterology and GI surgery, obstetrics and gynecology, orthopedic surgery, pulmonology and lung surgery, and rehabilitation. Tampa General Hospital. Other hospitals practice medicine. We define it.
Bull Speed Ahead with Michael Kelly continues.
Man who's always busy, Michael Kelly. Appreciate the time here on a Friday. Hope you're enjoying Bull Speed Ahead. And we've got more when it comes to focusing directly on USF. Homecoming is next weekend. Oh, yeah. But on the national level, you are involved in plenty in the D1 Council meetings in Indianapolis this week. What was going on there?
Yeah, you know, the D1 Council, we meet monthly, but most of the meetings take place online, like on Teams. NCAA uses Teams like USF does, but quarterly we get together in person now. And so this week there were those meetings up in Indianapolis. It was a couple days. The first day was focused on some of the standing committee meetings. I serve on the Championship Oversight Committee, which basically focuses on the championships for all sports except for basketball on the NCAA standpoint. And then it kind of leads into I think there's 12 different standing committees in the NCAA that all lead into discussions amongst the Division I Council. I would just say I think one of the more talked about topics and the longest conversation at the council meeting was revolving around NIL, obviously, a big discussion topic nationally. And I serve on a working group that's chaired by Linda Teeler, executive associate AD up at University of Florida, who's doing a fantastic job on this. But what that group's trying to do is to put forth, you know, more specificity, more clarity about what's permissible and impermissible in the NIL space as it relates to, at least from an NCAA standpoint, And then you have to kind of overlay that as it relates to what various state legislatures' bills and items say. So a lot of discussion about that. There's a whole document that's being developed and adjusted to make sure everyone's on the same page. And that document will go above the council and straight to the NCAA Board of Directors probably by the end of the month. So I would expect by the end of October, the Board of Directors would probably be sending out another correspondence, because we did get some back in May that gave some more clarity and then even more clarity on the NIL space. So it'll be great for schools and fans to continue to know what's permissible, not permissible. But what's clear, folks, is obviously NIL is here to stay. Yeah. It's still a great opportunity for student athletes to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. And with the different platforms that our students have through the influencer marketplace, through the Fowler Avenue Collective, whatever way that our fans choose to support and look to work with our student athletes, there's those tools there. And I hope they'll go to our website and look for or follow our various student athletes on their social platforms to find ways to work with them. But more to come. But I just wanted everyone to know I expect by the end of this month to have a next layer of specificity about how NIL can be operated, since there does seem to be so much confusion in this new landscape.
So there you go. At the national level, it's not just making it up as we go along. It is actually trying to coordinate it and make sure everyone's following the same guidelines. And I do know, and I can say this is something else that got delayed by Hurricane Ian, but on the local level, there was a symposium just for the USF student athletes scheduled for last Tuesday. I'm going to MC it, and it's been rescheduled. So that's something that, again, is being covered and being put out to the athletes for certain.
Yeah, you're right there on that, and that's going to be a critical one. We were so excited about that session for our student athletes, so we appreciate your involvement with that, but we're going to have to get that rescheduled real quick, and I know it should be in short order to get that back on the docket. Other things that were talked about up there, one thing that we don't talk enough probably about tennis in general on this show, obviously, until the normal season starts. But one thing, and this is that a vote has not yet been taken, that it will be at the end of the month. But there's our women's coach, Christina Moros, being involved as she is on the NCAA committee and on the National Tennis Association board as well, that they've got a concept out there that would really be transformational in that it would have the kind of the singles and the doubles championship played in the fall season to bring clarity to the way that's done, and then have more of the traditional team season played in the spring. And part of that is just trying to bring clarity to the sport, because there's just a lot of confusion sometimes on, is the fall sport still part of the season? And of course, it all still counts in the rankings and that sort of thing. But from a championship perspective, really look at it that when you get to the NCAA championships, and you could very well be playing as if you, Derek Sharp, were an individual player going all the way to the finals or what have you, might be playing on 8 out of 10 days in a row with serious matches at the brink. And so if you've completed the team championship and then you have to dust off and start up with the final bracket for the individuals, it's quite a wear and tear on that. And it kind of gets lost in the shuffle in some of those individual championships. So again, just it was interesting to me to kind of hear that concept, and don't know where it will land, but I thought it was wanted to share that with our folks, because it's kind of interesting to kind of think that, all right, you could really focus on individual and doubles play in the fall and then kind of revert in the second semester to teams, if that indeed passes.
I like that idea. For people that don't know, golf and tennis both do the fall spring thing, and they're completely different. Golf counts in the fall equal to the spring. Tennis, it's individual events. You go as a team, but you play individually. And so what you're saying is a proposal to go ahead and play that out, have the individual situation completely crown a champion in the fall, and then turn it to the team level in the spring. But as I mentioned, golf, I do want to also throw that back into who was affected by Hurricane Ian. The golf team of Erica Brennan was on the road for 12 days, had a great conversation with her, and not only did that give them a chance to sort of come even closer together as a team, but speaking of things that counted, they get a set of school marks. So let's not forget about them, as they're doing great work too.
Exactly. They shot a school record mark in the tournament, which is awesome to see as that program continues. The men's team was up in, we should have mentioned that they were already up in the Chicago area, I know, for a tournament. But yeah, that was just great forecasting by Erica and her staff too, just to say, the storm's coming. We were already on the road. We went, so they just kind of bypassed Tampa and went straight up to the Carolinas for that event in Virginia to take place in the event that they shot so well in. So congratulations to them. And the last thing I'll say about the D1 council meetings, and we did get the update from the Transformation Committee, which, as we've talked about before, is a great group of leaders that are really working on behalf of the board of directors to, again, try to bring as many major proposals to about what the future of Division I is going to look like. And one thing they did say is that kind of their work will end at the end of December. So they're going to throw all the proposals that they think are feasible out by then to be evaluated by the council to some extent, but certainly by the board of directors. And then that should lead to the very robust agenda and ultimate decision-making in January when the NCAA convention takes place in San Antonio. So we'll know a lot more all leading into some important meetings here in January, but a lot of great work being done by those folks around the country.
And great work being done as we are giving you this on a Friday, on Thursday night, by women's soccer. This is a team that was struggling. They had lost three in a row. They lost their first conference match, and you started to wonder if it was going to turn around. Man, has it ever. Big road win against SMU last week. And now, after beating Memphis in a thriller, I saw you there, of course. We were broadcasting it on Bulls Unlimited on Thursday night. They're in first place. We'll get to the men's team, which has a kind of important stretch at Corbett, but that was a fun game last night. And by the way, they were wearing the breast cancer awareness, the pink uniforms, which was for a very special cause to head coach Denise Shilty Brown and so many others. But it was an awesome night.
Yeah, great night. Obviously, Memphis. And I guess since I've been here, you know, Memphis and us have played almost every year in the championship game or certainly late into the end of the season. So we know how formidable Memphis is. So to be able to get the win result last night was huge for us. And again, as you said, even though we had a very challenging start to the year and a challenging non-conference schedule that Denise always schedules, we've found our rhythm now, and now in first place with four games left in regular season play to go. So now they get a nice, decent rest because they're off this weekend and get ready for a huge game on the road next Sunday at East Carolina, who's in second place. So that'll be a huge opportunity to maybe really give us a inside lane on that if we can be successful in that next match.
No doubt about that. And then men's soccer, boy, just giving up a goal with 5 seconds to go, almost won on the road at UAB, but they're still undefeated in conference, and they have really, it's right in front of them. Kind of a similar situation to the women, where maybe you're concerned about not even getting into the conference tournament, but you've got the games in front of you. Well, they've got some games in front of them now. Sunday night, Tulsa, the following Sunday, FIU, and squeezed in a match against Stetson. So plenty of chances here to see the guys.
Yeah, you're right. And again, we've got a few more ties results than wins that we like, but obviously to still be undefeated at this point in the conference season. And hey, we're the only ones in the league that can say that. So they're playing hard. They're playing well, but you're right. This is a really huge week. So I hope if our fan schedules allow, they'll come on out Sunday night, big game against Tulsa. I mean, Tulsa had such a great year last year, and they're still quite formidable this year. And then, like you said, Stetson midweek, and then FIU, who I assume people know, but are now part of our league as it relates to men's soccer, very, very frequently in the top 25, and another great opponent. So to have these three games right here at home, it's a really pivotal week here about midway through for our men's program. So let's get out there and support them. But I'm proud of them being in this position in the conference slate and continue to drive toward, maybe a conference championship.
Yeah, the two new additions in men's soccer, well, four teams, but two new additions, FIU and Charlotte, are among the six teams that are ranked or have recently been ranked. So basically, the American is a power conference in men's soccer. There's no doubt about it, and you get to see some quality teams come into Corbett Soccer Stadium. And then we'll wrap it up. I'm sure on next week's show we'll touch even more on the actual homecoming activities, but it is homecoming weekend, so give people an initial idea of what they can look forward to attending. The obvious is the football game, but you have other events?
Oh, yeah. Homecoming's always fun for any university. It's a great chance for alumni to come back and see each other, see family and friends. So, you know, the university does a great job with it. They've got events, and students have events all week long. But when you really focus on the weekend, you've got kind of the fun festival that the university throws out in front of the Lipsey House area that everyone's certainly invited to. That leads into the parade that takes place early Friday evening around the Tampa campus. And then as that concludes, it leads into our volleyball match that night there on Friday night in the Corral. So hopefully people will come to campus, hit that event for again, hit the parade, and then ultimately hit the volleyball game, and then that all leads into Saturday when we have a perfectly placed game in terms of the time of day. We've got a 4 o'clocker, which I think is awesome. Gives plenty of people enough time to rest after hopefully a fun Friday night. It also allows them to have a perfect opportunity to tailgate for the 5 hours leading into the 4 o'clock start against Tulane. So, you know, huge game, you know, for us, a perfect chance to be together with family and friends and to support the Bulls. Obviously, we know, you know, from a football standpoint, some of the results are not something that no one's happy about. You know, I know some people are frustrated. We're frustrated. But we're also still fighting hard, and the best thing to do is to, like the song says, rally around the family. Let's use the opportunity to be back in Raymond James, because unfortunately, because of the game being relocated, it'll be over a month from when we last had a chance to play, and it's our only time to be in Raymond James in October. So let's get out there and play well, get our fans behind us, and deliver a great homecoming performance against Tulane. So get your tickets, 4 o'clock. Saturday against the Tulane Green Wave at Raymond James Stadium.
I like your take on that, why that's a perfect time. And also from a weather perspective, if this, what we've got going on, stays how it is going to be football weather maybe for the first time in a while. So the timing actually probably could work out there. Hey, Michael, thank you very much for taking time today. And anything else going on before we close it out today?
No, Darryl, I just want to thank you for your time today. And again, to all of our fans listening out there, I hope everything with the hurricane went well for you. Again, to all of our fans, thanks for sticking with us. We have so many great things going on in our department overall. And the best thing to do is, again, continue to stick together and move forward, full speed ahead. So thank you.